This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Thanks so much for listening every Saturday and Sunday on the Envision Radio Networks. Harriet Hall is a contributor to a terrific website called Science-Based Medicine. In fact, she and four other doctors founded this to be able to debunk some of the nonsense that's out there in alternative medicines and alternative therapies and keep an eye on stories related to those fields. She's also a contributing editor to Skeptic and Skeptical Inquirer and recently published Women Aren't Supposed to Fly, The Memoirs of a Female Flight Surgeon, which is available now from Amazon for the Kindle for just $3.03. I ran into Harriet a couple of weeks ago at James Randi's amazing meeting in Las Vegas, and I invited her to join me here on the show, so here she is. Hi, Harriet. Welcome to America Weekend.
Hi, Paul. Thank you.
It's my pleasure. One of the things I want to talk about with you right off the bat here is a report that came out this week from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention about the HPV vaccine and how not nearly enough girls are getting this vaccine. Do you know this story?
Yes, I do. The story said that only half of the eligible girls were getting it, but it's worse than that. Only a third of our girls are getting the full course of three shots, and it's very unfortunate. It's because there are myths floating around that really some of them are just outright lies, but they're frightening people away from the vaccine. One of the objections is that the HPV vaccine will make girls promiscuous, but it won't. It doesn't open the door to sex. It closes the door to cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been some studies that have definitely shown that girls who get the vaccine are not more promiscuous. The most pernicious rumor is the idea that vaccine has killed 21 girls and caused all kinds of complications. And that's simply not true. There have been no deaths from the vaccine and no adverse health effects found after 57 million doses of the vaccine. And the rumors come from the VAERS program, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. And they accept all reports from anyone who's had anything happen after vaccination, but it doesn't mean that there is any relation to the vaccine.
So, for instance, if somebody goes in and gets a vaccine and their arm is sore or their hip is sore, depending on where they get the vaccine, and there's some soreness or there's some swelling or some redness, that goes in the negative column and counts against it, as opposed to something that goes away in a couple of days and then you're fine and you're protected against a horrible disease.
Yeah, but they're also saying things happen like miscarriages, A certain number of girls have had miscarriages after the vaccine, but miscarriages happen all the time. So just having those reports doesn't mean anything by itself. You need to find out how many girls have miscarriages without the vaccine. And when they've looked at things that way, they haven't found any increase in the women who've had the vaccines. So it's very misleading. The VAERS accepts any kind of report. One of my friends put in a report that a vaccine had turned him into the Incredible Hulk. And they accepted it, and he had to go through all kinds of contortions to convince them that it was a joke and to get them to remove it from the record. So you simply cannot use the VAERS system to judge whether a vaccine causes problems.
The HPV vaccine protects girls and women, for that matter, against cervical cancers and is remarkably effective, right?
That's right. And it also protects against a majority of other genital cancers and oral cancers, throat cancers, and 90% of genital warts. They complain that it doesn't cover all of the strains of the virus, but it covers the strains that cause most of those cancers. And a fascinating thing to me is that the HPV infection rate among teenage girls has dropped by 56% since the vaccine was introduced, even though only a third of them are vaccinated. It seems to be having a herd effect and protecting even people who aren't getting vaccinated.
Well, that's great. Is part of the problem here, Harriet, that doctors aren't telling their female patients that they should get this vaccine?
Yes, it's an optional vaccine, and it's not as important as some of the others, and we're obviously not stressing it because they've looked at a study showing that girls had been seen by a doctor and given other vaccines and didn't get the HPV vaccine. So I think we could be doing a much better job of selling it.
And part of that probably comes because school districts, while they insist that you get your kid vaccinated for measles, mumps, rubella, polio, et cetera, all of those sort of things, are not insisting that you get this. I'm sure there's politics that gets in the way of that. But you would hope that pediatricians would be a little bit more conscientious and tell their female patients about it, not just because we need to protect girls who are going to eventually have sex as teenagers, but girls who are eventually going to have sex as adult women, because this vaccine covers them for, what, 20, 30, 40 years, right?
Oh, we're not sure just exactly how long the effect lasts, but it's more effective if they get it before they start sexual activity. And it's good for boys, too. I want to stress that. Boys can be vaccinated, and that'll help them keep from infecting their female partners later on, and it'll protect them from throat cancer and from genital warts. Michael Douglas was in the news recently saying that his throat cancer was caused by one of these viruses, and if he'd had the vaccine, he might not have gotten cancer.
Very good point. Harriet Hall writes about things like this and fights against nonsense that is it's supposed to be science, but it's not. It turns out to be pseudoscience or even just bad science. You recently wrote a piece about a book by a woman named Jennifer Margulis called The Business of Baby. Tell my audience a little bit about that book and how she gets things incredibly wrong.
Well, she's a journalist. She's not a medical professional. And she has an axe to grind. She's in favor of home births. She's against vaccination. And she cherry-picks. She picks all kinds of things that seem to support her points, and she ignores all the rest of the evidence. And the book is, frankly, dangerous.
Dangerous how? What does she tell people to do other than skipping vaccines, which you and I both advocate for? We advocate for people taking vaccines. We know how dangerous it can be to not take vaccines and not get that herd immunity. But what else is she promoting that you consider dangerous?
Well, that's dangerous enough in itself, but
yes.
She's promoting home births, and there are things that can happen in a home birth that can kill the baby and kill the mother, and they say, oh, yeah, if there's a complication, we'll go to the hospital. But I delivered babies in my career, and it would scare me to death to supervise a delivery at home because I know how fast things can go wrong, and you just might not have time to get to the hospital.
Is she one of these who says doctors don't know everything? We if we read enough books and enough websites, we'll know more than doctors do?
Yes, she's involved in the popular sport of doctor bashing. She thinks doctors are just out to make money, and they don't care about their patients, and that's one of the dangerous things, is that she's destroying women's faith in their doctors.
I have to ask you about one other thing I saw on the Science-Based Medicine blog. Acupuncture with turtles?
Yes, turtle puncture.
What is this, Harriet?
Oh, they were rescuing some endangered sea turtles, and there was a picture of them sticking needles in these poor turtles. You know, acupuncture is the one thing in alternative medicine that a lot of people really believe in. They think it's been scientifically proven to work. But it really hasn't, because a lot of those studies that support acupuncture are flawed. For one thing, you can't really do properly blinded studies on acupuncture, because when you stick needles in people, they tend to notice.
And there's no placebo.
The most rigorous studies show that it doesn't matter where you put the needles, or whether you use real needles or sham needles, or whether you use needles at all. In one study, they just touched the skin with toothpicks, and that worked just as well. And the one thing that seems to make a difference in the best studies is that if the subjects believe acupuncture works and believe they're getting the real thing, they're more likely to respond, even if they're actually in the control group. So if you look at the whole body of published literature with a critical eye, you'll find just exactly what you'd expect to find from testing an elaborate placebo. And it's been called, acupuncture has been called a theatrical placebo, and I think that describes it very well.
I am writing down a new $1 million idea here, Harriet. toothpick puncture. I'm taking that from you. I'm sorry. I've got it trademarked already. The book is called Women Aren't Supposed to Fly, The Memoirs of a Female Flight Surgeon. That's available from Amazon for the Kindle for $3.03. And you can download the ebooks from Science-Based Medicine about acupuncture and homeopathy and chiropractic and so much more. Harriet Hall, the Skept Doc. Thanks so much for joining me here today.
Thank you.
I'm Paul Harris, and thanks to you for listening every Saturday and Sunday to America Weekend.
America.